Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I read something not too long ago about praising the Lord. This guy wrote an article and he said, even praise the Lord even whenever it's ugly praise. And what he talked about in that article was the idea of sometimes whenever the hardest circumstances that we might be going through, and he compared it to that whenever you're crying, you know, and the tears are flowing, the mascara's getting all messed up, and that would be pretty, for the most part, for the guys. I mean the girls, excuse me. And you know, it just gets a little bit ugly. He said, just praise the Lord anyway, even whenever it might be a little ugly. Amen. Well, folks, open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This is something that has been stirring around in my heart for the last many weeks, and I just believe the Spirit of God has been speaking to us in various ways, kind of about the same topic. Those of you that are involved in our Sunday school class across the street with Miss Karen, it's called Drawing Near. Drawing near to Him. Amen? I believe that is perhaps the greatest invitation that a human being could ever get, to be invited by a holy and a righteous God to draw near to Him. It's just unfathomable whenever you begin to calculate what the odds might be that we would ever get invited by God to draw near to Him. But yet He extends that invitation to us. So let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for this opportunity You have given us. And indeed, Father, this morning, we come to You knowing, Father, that we are totally and completely dependent upon You. And we ask Your anointing, God. For without it, Lord God, we merely go through the motions. It's a religious ritual, Lord God, for which, Father God, we have no taste whatsoever, Lord. We want something real. We want You. So thus, Lord, I pray for Your anointing to descend in this place, Lord. The Spirit of the Sovereign God, let it be upon us, Lord, to open us up to receive the word that You have for us this morning. Father, we pray it and believe it this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name. Amen and amen. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, it's a real short text this morning. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a pretty easy one. In fact, for the most part, we could probably virtually memorize that thing before we ever leave here. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So now just break that scripture down just a little bit. Talk about the word hunger. It says to suffer want, to be needy, to crave ardently, to seek with eager desire, a strong desire or craving. And then you take that other word there, thirst. It says to suffer thirst, suffer from thirst. A thirst is to painfully feel their want of and eagerly long for those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, strengthened. So spiritual hunger, spiritual thirst is basically where we're at this morning. And now whenever you begin to look at this scripture, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, that righteousness, whenever you begin to grab a hold of the idea behind righteousness, you got to understand, all of righteousness comes from God. And so whenever you hunger and thirst for righteousness, guess where you're hungering and thirsting for? You're hungering and thirsting for Him. And I have to tell you, folks, today in the climate by which you and I attend church and we can move through the various elements of Christianity, whether it be books or magazines or internet articles or whatever it may be, one of the things I believe that is so often missed is the presence of God in our lives. We seem to be able to grab a hold of all the do's and the don'ts, amen. We see that taught a whole lot. You can't do this and you can do that and you can't do this and you can do that. But I got to tell you something, folks. What birthed the church of Jesus Christ way back 2,000 years ago was that those individuals were familiar with the presence of Almighty God upon their lives. Whenever they got up and left their homes, they understood that the presence of God was upon them, that the Spirit of God was in them. And I got to tell you, of all the things that I have tasted in my lifetime, and now I know this is a really sad confession for many of you because you're familiar with my hungering for Mexican food. But of all the things I've tasted in my life, there is nothing that even comes close to comparing with the presence of God on my life. But how do you come about developing a hunger or a desire for the spiritual things? Coming to a place where you literally suffer want. That's what the definition of hunger is, to suffer want. Hungry. Needy. How do you come to a place where you thirst for the presence of God in your life? It says to thirst is to painfully feel want. So how do you come to that place? First of all, I believe this. I believe that spiritual hunger or spiritual desire does not come upon us suddenly. That all of a sudden you're just walking down the sidewalk and, oh man, I'm thirsty. You see, I believe it's much like physical hunger. I have to tell you right now, I'm really not that hungry. I mean, I could eat, but I'm not that hungry. But as time goes on during the day, you have to understand that slowly but surely our physical bodies begin to crave food. I can tell you that right now I'm not real thirsty, but slowly but surely if I was held off of the water and I was held off of the food for a period of time, my body would begin to crave it. My body would begin to thirst after it till a time would come in my life where literally I suffer from thirst. I mean, probably tomorrow morning about this time, if I hadn't drank anything and eaten anything, I can tell you I'd probably be cranky. As a pastor, it's so fun to get to go pray with people, you know, prior to having surgeries. And, you know, you have to understand, prior to having surgeries means that they did not eat anything or drink anything from the night before. And it's amazing how sometimes people take that 12-hour fast or so. I went to the hospital one time to pray with one gentleman, and all he could think about was a Bojangles biscuit. I mean, you know, there was a whole line of people that came in his room and, you know, did all the various things to him to prepare him for surgery. And every one of them, he asked him, he said, when can I eat a biscuit? I want a Bojangles biscuit. And they said, well, you know, you're going to have to wait a little while. I'm hungry. He said, when can I eat a Bojangles biscuit? I'm going to tell you something. Whenever he woke up from surgery and they got him into a regular room out of recovery, you know what was the first thing that came out of his mouth? He said, Pastor, you want to go get me a Bojangles biscuit? If I fasted, you know, that 12-hour, no drink, no eating, I have an idea that I could call you on the phone and say, hey, man, I'm pretty dry. Haven't drank anything in, you know, 24-hour period or haven't eaten anything. And some of y'all can identify with that. I think our spiritual hunger and our spiritual thirst comes on us gradually. It doesn't come on us suddenly. It doesn't come on us uninvited. It doesn't come on us overwhelmingly. I really believe that it's something in our lives that literally has to be cultivated. In other words, we got to go out and say, listen, I am going to create in my life a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Because the Bible says this is the great thing about this scripture. You see, just in this one little passage, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But it doesn't end there. Praise God. It says whenever you begin to cultivate that hunger, whenever you begin to cultivate that thirst, and you genuinely begin to be thirsty for spiritual things. In other words, you come in this place and you go, man, I really don't care what Jerry plays on the keyboard. I don't care what the musicians do. I don't care what the singers do. I am hungry for the presence of God in my life. And man, they may be on one song, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be worshiping with everything. That first song kind of threw me this morning, I'm going to tell you. That required me to move my lips a whole lot faster than I was used to moving my lips. And not only did I have to read, move my lips fast, but I had to read while I was doing it. Because that first time I ever heard that song. Now next time we sing it, I'm going to be a little bit more familiar with it. Because But are you following me? It doesn't make any difference if you know the song, you don't know the song, if you like the song, if you don't like the song. If you've come in here with a legitimate, genuine hunger and thirst for righteousness, I'm telling you, you're going to get filled. That's what it says right there. It says, for they shall be filled. You're going to come in here and you're going to say, whoa, I'm going to get what I've come after today. I want a meeting with the Most High God. I want His presence to envelop me. I want to leave this place different than I came in it. But I'm telling you, you can't experience that without a hunger. You cannot experience that without a thirst. Let me just tell you, the intensity of our hunger, the intensity of our thirst is going to determine the dimension or the degree of our filling. Friday we had our family over to eat lunch, you know, and as all great patriotic American families celebrate the 4th of July, we cooked Mexican food. Yes, amen. But now I have to tell you, I got up early that morning because Mexican food just doesn't prepare itself. And I started preparing. Made a big old huge pan of enchiladas and refried beans and Spanish rice and sopapillas. Oh, give me just a moment. I'm starting to get hungry, actually. But you know, this is the amazing part about it. By the time I got to lunch, I had tasted and sampled the various dishes until I was almost not even hungry. Now, Brother Nathan came over to our house. He set the world record for sopapilla eating. I almost searched him before he left because I thought he had some in his pockets, but the rest of the people around the table said, no, he ate them. He really ate them. He ate that many. I was just wanting to have some for the orphanage, but he ate them all. But I have to tell you, whenever I got to lunch, I just was almost not hungry. And some of you cooks can understand what I'm talking about. You just get there and you just say, I've already eaten. Sorry. That's what I'm talking about in a spiritual way. Whenever we come into this place, the hunger and the thirst that we have, the intensity that we bring into this sanctuary, the intensity that we live our lives with from Monday to Sunday, that's going to determine the degree by which we are going to be filled. So we come into this place and we go, you know what? I'm just really not that hungry. I'm really not that thirsty. I'm going to tell you something. You're probably just going to get filled to the smallest degree. But if you come in and you say, God, I am famished. I need a filling. I need to be overwhelmed by your presence. I'm telling you, you're going to get whatever it is you've come for. And you say, well, Pastor, how do I come in here more hungry one Sunday, perhaps than another Sunday? Let me talk to you about losing your appetite. Because, you know, I've talked about thirst and hunger, and so I believe that sometimes Christians can actually lose their appetite. Now, let me just tell you, I believe it is impossible to lose your appetite for spiritual things if you've gotten filled up with spiritual things. Come on now. I want to tell you something. If God touches you and just overwhelms you with His presence, you don't leave this place going, man, I'm full. I don't want no more. I don't want any more. Oh, and just rubbing your old tummy and saying, I'm just so full spiritually. I'm going to tell you something. That has never happened to me. Whenever God overwhelms me with His presence, you know what it does? It just makes me want more. I just leave saying, oh, man, I cannot wait to get some more. But I talked just a moment ago about losing our spiritual appetite. And see, I believe things that affect our spiritual appetite can actually come from the physical or the carnal side of our lives. I think a lot of times Christians lose their spiritual appetites because we have allowed our souls to be filled with earthly or carnal things. Come on now. I brought my bag in here this morning, and I'm kind of ashamed even to show you what's inside of it. But this is where I carry my computer and a lot of important things. And if you'll notice, it's stuffed more than it should be stuffed. I've got my computer. I've got a whole bunch of file folders in here. I stuck one in here the other day. Just this is Teen Camp 2014. I stick it in here just so I can do stuff at home that I need to do, you know, if an idea strikes me. Oh, man, hang on. You get the idea? It's like overstuffed. And I don't even have my iPad in here right now, but whenever I put it in here, it goes because it's so overfull. Now, can I tell you something? About half the stuff in here is probably trash. I don't mean... Well, maybe I do mean like trash. See, I ate a Frosty the other day, and I didn't want Renee to know I had stopped and eaten it without her. So I just wadded all the evidence up. It's a Frosty cone, and I just stuck it in my briefcase, and she'll never find out. There's file folders in here that's seriously been in here 2-3 years. I don't even know what's in them. But this case is as full as it's probably going to get. There are things that probably need to be in here, but I can promise you the evidence. Oh, wait a minute. Y'all raise your right hand and swear you'll never tell her what I've done. Thank you, David. That's my man back here. Folks, our lives get just like that little case right there. We can fill our lives up with all different kinds of things. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So how does a newborn babe desire milk? It craves it. It requires it. It demands it. Hunger, thirst, spiritual desire is a single most required characteristic of growing and maturing, advancing in our Christian life. But oftentimes it seems like the most easily forsaken or the most easily lost, because we fill our lives up with so many other things. In Jeremiah 2:13 it says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's a telling scripture right there. And I really believe that it applies so perfectly to the civilization that you and I live in, the society that we run in. Folks, I got to tell you something. There's only one source for living water. There's only one source for the satisfaction that comes to a spiritual being, which all of us are, and that is the very presence of Almighty God. But I want to tell you, just like in the days of Jeremiah, his people have built cisterns. And cisterns are supposedly these water-holding tanks that are underground. And they hold this water, which, you know, water is essential for life. But if your cistern leaks out all the water in it overnight, guess what? The next morning, your family's going to be mighty thirsty. You say, well, Pastor, how in the world did that apply to us today? I think a whole lot of it is our attitude towards Jesus, our attitude towards His presence, and our attitude towards His Word. It's a story of the New Testament about whenever Jesus went over to Lazarus' house. And Lazarus, you know, he was Mary and Martha's brother, and so on and so forth. And so Jesus' the disciples went over there, and Martha, whenever the group came, she was immediately burdened to serve them. And so she was in the kitchen. Man, she was cooking sopapillas and enchiladas and all the various things. Jesus ate Mexican food. He did. There were several Mexican restaurants back then. I'm joking. But Mary nevertheless was busy, excuse me, Martha was busy doing all the various things to accommodate her guests. And her sister Mary was in there at the feet of Jesus. And Martha, you know, she gets all wound up, goes in there and says, Mary, I cannot believe you're in here leaving me all alone in the kitchen. It's hot, it's sweaty, and come in here and help me. And Jesus is the one that literally steps in between these two sisters and says, listen, Mary has found the good spot in this house. And it's not all the busy things that you're doing, Martha, but it's right here at my feet. That's the thing. Folks, I got to tell you, all of us can create all kinds of ways to keep ourselves busy. We can run to and fro until we've run to and fro so many times we'll meet ourselves going to and fro. We can find every kind of way you can possibly imagine to capitalize our time. You know what we are here in America? We are entertainment junkies. I was watching a television show the other day, and you have to understand, I was just kind of being a vegetable, like a carrot. I was just laying there on the couch, flipping for the stations, and I came across a show. It wasn't a bad show or anything like that. And I sat there for a moment, and as I watched it, I thought, man, why are you watching this? I mean, I had to ask the question. It was one of these reality shows, you know, about the life and times of some crazy family. And I thought, why are you watching this? And then it dawned on me. I was just wasting time. I was wasting time. Because whenever I got up from watching that little portion of that show that I'd watched, I'm going to tell you something. I was no better off. Come on. My family was no better off. More importantly, the kingdom was no better off. And then I got to thinking, why would anybody watch that? Because we're entertainment junkies. We want to be entertained for the most part from the minute we get up to the minute we go to bed at night. That's why we've got iPods and iPads and cell phones. Man, that's why nobody has just a corded phone that's stuck to the wall anymore. Because you've got to entertain yourself even on your phone. I'm amused to sit around restaurants anymore, man. Families go in restaurants and they don't even talk. They just text back and forth to each other. Well, they're sitting at the table. Today we were eating at a restaurant, four people in a family, and every one of them were sitting there. No conversation whatsoever between them. They were just sitting there texting. And if I'm talking to you, you probably should put your phone down every once in a while. We just constantly want to be entertained. And folks, I got to tell you, what happens is, when we get all of these things in our life, all of these duties, all of these running to and fro, all of these entertainment, and the list goes on and on and on, our case begins to get so full, there's no room for anything else. So our spiritual appetites, they don't exist. Because we fulfill our spiritual appetite on the things of the world. I've tasted Honey Boo Boo, and I didn't like it. But yet Jesus is handing out an invitation. He's saying to us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be saved. They will be filled, excuse me. I believe that we can come to a place in our lives where we literally experience a continual, unceasing filling of the Spirit. Just every day, He just keeps pouring into us and pouring into us. Because you see, the idea is, whenever He begins to pour into us, we begin to pour out to others. Thirst or spiritual hunger, this desire, I really believe that it is a spiritual thermometer that determines the health of a Christian. I believe it also determines the health of a church or any kind of organization. The spiritual hunger, the spiritual thirst that exists within us. Whenever we lose our spiritual appetites for the presence and the glory of God in our midst, then we are really, truthfully, in a very critical condition. Because if you're not hungry, if you're not thirsty, you won't eat. And see, as long as we begin to tuck all of those various things of the world, if you would, into our lives, we're going to come to church, and church is never going to fulfill us. You know what? You know what the idea is behind so many churches today is they want to entertain you. Christianity literally has become a big business in the sense that it entertains you. As I shared with our Wednesday night folks not very long ago, there was a rather large church that had kind of hit that plateau and they weren't growing anymore. So they invited a church growth specialist, an organization, to come in and kind of assess their church and give them ideas as to how to grow more. And so they spent tens of thousands of dollars on these individuals coming in and assessing their church. And at the end of the whole assessment, you know, that final report was given to the pastor. And so the pastor took it into the board and he shared it with them. And so what they had decided that this church needed was they needed different lighting in the sanctuary. They needed these lights that, you know, they turn and rotate and, you know, they put all kinds of smoke on the stage and so on and so forth. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I think that's all well and fine. But folks, I got to tell you something. Entertaining people is not the way to draw them into the presence of God. I don't want people to come here hungry for entertainment. Because if they do, they're going to leave unsatisfied. That church ain't very entertaining. We're not here to be entertaining. We're here to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We're here to present to any individual that comes that there is freedom in Christ Jesus from anything that might capture our heart and lead us away from Him. You see, if we're not hungry because we are so entertainment-minded, if we're not thirsty because we've just gobbled up so much of the world and drank so much of the world, folks, whenever we come into a place like this, we're not going to eat, we're not going to drink. And you know what happens whenever a church doesn't eat or drink? They die. You know what happens to an individual that doesn't eat or drink? It dies. In Psalm 63, this is a psalm of David. Whenever he was in the wilderness, this is verse 1 and 2. It says, "You are my God, early will I seek you. My soul," listen to what David says here. He says, "My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and see your glory." In Isaiah 44:3, it says, "For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on a dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your offspring." In Isaiah 41:17, it says, "The poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them, and I, the Lord, the God of Israel, will not forsake them." And whenever you read these scriptures, you got to understand that these are amazing, incredible promises that God says, man, if I find somebody thirsty, I'm going to give them a drink. I find somebody hungering for me, I'm going to give them enough to eat. But I have to tell you, I do not believe, even though these scriptures are very incredible and they're awesome and they're amazing promises, I don't believe they're for everybody. You go, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought all these scriptures were for everybody. Well, let me just make this delineation and then you can decide. You see, I don't think these scriptures are for anybody that is not hungering and thirsting after God. You see, I think that's the prerequisite. I think God many times in His Word comes to us and He says, hey, if you want me to do this, you got to do this. I mean, salvation even hinges on that. It says we got to believe, we got to confess. Are you with me? And so God comes to us and He says, man, here is these amazing, incredible promises. I will hear them, and I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and blessings on your offspring. That is incredible promises. But folks, you and I got to be hungering and thirsting for God. So here's a quick test. Very quick. Ask yourself this question. Have I lost my desire for God? In other words, when was the last time that you can genuinely say, I was thirsty for the presence of God. I was thirsty. I needed something. And the only thing that would satisfy was the presence of God. I was hungry. And the only thing that could satisfy, like David, he says, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land. So this question, have I lost my desire for God? But let me rephrase that just a little bit. Let me ask you this. Instead of have I lost my desire for God, maybe we could boil it down to just a little bit smaller, more condensed sentence. Have I lost desire for God? Because you see, I believe that's where the church, for the most part, is. We haven't lost our desire. I imagine if anyone in you today would just be totally and completely honest, nobody in here would say, man, I'm born again, I'm on fire. I'm blood-bought, and I'm full of the fire of God's Holy Spirit. I haven't lost all of my desire for God. But folks, there's times in our lives where it seems as though we're more thirsty one day than we are another. Maybe one week we're really there, but the next week we're not. And this morning, maybe we can ask ourselves honestly, have I lost desire for scale or for God? And on a scale of 1 to 10, just think about this. 10 being the maximum, 1 being the minimum. Where would you rate your desire for God right now? You know, quietly, confidentially, just you. And young people, you're scattered kind of all over the sanctuary, kind of most of you back in this area. But young people, you know, where is your desire for God? If you were to honestly rate yourselves this morning, I mean, Mr. Teenager, Miss Teenager, where would you say you stand? As we're fixing to head off to camp and we're believing God for a spiritual breakthrough in our lives. I'm telling you, our lives. I want God to touch my life at camp. I want to see Him get all over Pastor Nathan. I want to see Him get over all over every one of these kids. But this is the question. Where does your desire of God rate? Is it a 1? Is it the lowest? This is a 2, 3, or 4. Maybe you're right up there at 10. And man, if you are, praise God, it's a wonderful thing to take you to camp. Because this is what I think. I think God could even raise your level of intensity even more than a 10. But have we lost desire for God? Have we become satisfied just to come to church and just to go through the motions, or are we hungry for the manifest presence of God? Are we craving a divine encounter? That's what I want. I want a divine encounter. I want to come to the place where I crave it. I crave it. Where I go to bed at night and I can't even sleep because my mind is so preoccupied with the divine encounter with the Holy One. That's what I want. I want to be able to come in here and not even be able to carry on a decent conversation with any of you because my mind is so focused on a divine encounter with the Holy One. That's what I desire. And I got to tell you something. It goes past me as far as my desire is concerned. Man, I want to see God get all over every one of you. I want to see Him turn your life upside down and inside out because I believe that is the power of our God. I believe that He can change the destiny of a human life in just a matter of an instant. A divine encounter with His deity. Hunger and thirst equals spiritual desire. So what is it going to take to get your pastor to that point to where all I think about is a divine encounter with Almighty God? What's it going to take? In other words, what's it going to take to bring us to, as Matthew says, a blessed condition? That'd be awesome. You come in here a few weeks from now and you tell me, Pastor, you are looking at a blessed man. And I go, okay, did you get a new car? A new bow. Come on now. I said, no. No new car. Still driving that old piece of junk. Had to push it in the parking lot this morning. I'm blessed because I come into this place with the most intense hunger for a meeting with the Almighty God. I'm telling you, Pastor, I've come to a place where I cannot get it off of my mind. I'm telling you, everywhere I go, man, it's just like, whew, I got to have God. It's just like David in that crazy psalm you read. Oh, my soul, the very flesh that I am, it cries out for you in this dry and very arid land that I live in. Oh, God, I've got to have a touch from your hand. Man, would that not be an awesome testimony? Some of you ladies gang up on us down here and say, man, Pastor, I'm telling you, I'm blessed. I'm literally in a blessed condition this morning. I go, what do you mean? I'm hungering and thirsting like I've never hungered and thirsted before. Pastor Nathan, man, he brings three or four kids up to the altar by their ears. You know how you do it? That's so awesome. You know, come on up. And you see, Pastor, these kids are in a blessed condition. That's what it says in Matthew. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Man, I'm telling you what I want. I want all of y'all to come down with a condition. Really? I've got a condition. I had a condition one time whenever I was a kid. I caught some unknown crazy, I don't even know where it came from. The doctor said I thought I was having a heart attack. I was like 9 years old and I had pericarditis. It's like your heart catches a cold or something like that. So it's like enormously painful. I don't want you to have that kind of condition. But I do want to have you to have a condition that literally you begin to hunger and thirst for the presence of God. Nothing will do. I'm telling you, man, the most unruly thing I could think of that I would want in this place is that none of you sat down whenever we said sit down. Brother Nathan came up this morning and said, be seated. Everybody's okay, fine. But you know what? If we all had a condition, come on now. If we all had a condition, if we had this blessed condition that it talks about here in Matthew, if we had that kind of condition, Brother Nathan could come up here and he could, oh, everybody be seated. We go, no, man, I am so hungry. I got to have the presence of Almighty God and it's not there yet. Jared, just keep on playing. You go, oh man, that'd just be disrespectful. Let me tell you something. The most intense service I have ever been in my life, unlike any other that I've been in, folks, was a time whenever I was at a worship service. That's all that happened the whole night. And I'm telling you, the people in that sanctuary, they were singing so loud that you could not hear the music. And man, they came up, they wanted to receive the offering. And man, they stood there for a long time and people just kept singing and just kept praising the Lord. The piano had stopped, all the worship teams were like going, okay. And man, people were saying, no, I have a condition. I'm telling you, it's all over me. I am hungry. I am thirsty for the presence of God. And man, whenever the leadership began to figure out that nobody was going to sit down, the worship team began to play, and I'm telling you, anointed music came forth, and I'm telling you, the top of that church came about that close to blowing off. Right in the middle of that service, right in the middle of that service, the Spirit of God came down and touched my wife and the stupid disease that she had been dealing with and the various symptoms of it. I'm telling you, God literally took every symptom away. Nobody prayed for her. Nobody did anything. She just worshiped the Lord. Everybody in that place was just nuts. Nobody would sit down. And they tried. Believe me, they tried. Leadership would get up there. Okay, well, and everybody goes, "Oh man, I got a condition. I got a condition." I'm telling you, man, whenever you have that kind of condition, understand, look at yourself in the mirror and say, you are blessed, child of God. That's what it says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But you say, Pastor, I'm not sure how to get there. Let me give you a good idea. Quit eating so much junk food. See, junk food, the very nature of junk food is this. You can fill up on it, but it does absolutely nothing for your overall health. You can eat as many Oreos as you can eat. And you can even dip them in milk to say, oh, this is healthy now. But they're not going to do anything for you. I mean, they feed rats a diet of Oreos. About 6 weeks later, them Oreos are going to kill that rat. That's all they have to eat. They're just going to die from it. Come on, junk food is not good for you. Okay, some of y'all are looking at me and saying, Pastor, you have done crossed a line you should have never crossed. I'll never tithe again. Do you know it? It's not good for you. There's aisle after aisle in the grocery store of stuff that is out there that's, oh, it's so tasty, it's so salty, it's so sugary, it's so salty and sugary. But it's not good for you. And folks, I got to tell you, the world has all of these things to offer spiritually that are not... I'm telling you, you can watch the whole season 1, 2, and 3 of Honey Boo Boo, and it's not going to do you any good. It's like junk food. Come on! I encourage you to literally go on a fast. You go, okay, Pastor, now you're getting really stupid. And I'm not really talking about a fast from food, because, you know, literally the biblical way of fasting is that you abstain from food. But I'm talking a spiritual fast from junk food. You start pushing away the things that do not feed and nurture your spirit. You just start pushing them away. And I want to tell you what's going to begin to happen. Your spiritual man is going to begin to crave the spiritual outpouring of his presence in your life. If you have too much junk food in you, you will never, ever crave spiritual things. As that bag right there, and some of you are saying, well, Pastor, why don't you clean it out? I'm thinking seriously about cleaning it out. But I'm probably going to wait till the new year. But far more important than that bag is what's taking place on the inside of me. That's keeping me away from having a condition. Now, I know if you all left here and, you know, just accidentally met up with one of your friends that didn't attend service here, and you told them, said, Pastor preached that we should all come down with a condition. Your friends might give you a second look, like, what's wrong with your pastor? But I'm telling you, in Matthew, it tells us that that condition is blessed. So go on a fast. Push away those things that don't feed you, that don't nurture your spirit. Set aside some time for nothing else but just spending time in His presence. Just spend some time worshiping God. And remember this, one of the first signs of physical illness is that you lose your appetite. That's why us as parents are always trying to get the kids to eat whenever they get sick. You know they're really sick whenever they don't eat. Or they say, you know, for like my boys not to eat, you got to know they're sick. For me not to eat means I'm almost dead, just really close to dead. But one of the signs of physical illness is indeed a loss of appetite. And I really believe that it is true in the spiritual realm as well. Whenever we lose our appetite, it means that we have grown to a place we should not have grown to. So my prayer for you this morning is this. I pray you get a condition. I pray that as the opportunities begin to present themselves for y'all to pray with us for our youth camp, I pray that you will say, Lord, I hope every one of these kids come home with a condition. Lord, I hope you go through those kids, and I pray you go through every adult staff member as well, Lord. I hope you bring every one of them home from camp with a condition. But my prayer for you today is this, that you will have a greater hunger for him than you've ever known before. Because this is what the Bible says about that kind of condition. They that hunger and thirst shall be filled. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Will you just kind of shut yourself off from the rest of anything that's happening in here this morning? And let me just get real, real to the point. I'm talking about you having a condition. I'm talking about you having a thirst or hunger for the spiritual moving of God in your heart. His presence upon your life. Literally, an encounter spiritually with the God of heaven and earth.